And at second base in batting ninth is David Hamilton. Why? Because according to Kurt Hoge of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bryce Terang is day-to-day with right knee pain. An MRI didn't reveal anything serious, and the plan is to rest it. Terang is also getting a second opinion. Pat Murphy said there's a chance he plays in this series. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time laughing because I don't think I'm really believing anything that I just read. So before we do that, let's do this.
The key to building a winner in baseball is a strong minor league system. Who are the names we should know? How did they play in their last game? It's time for Building a Winner. It's the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
All right, time to build a winner. Joining us now, sports trend reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's down in Nashville talking to the Sounds players, the coaches, hanging out, sampling the whiskey, doing his thing. J.R. Radcliffe joins us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law One Call. That's all. Good evening, J.R. How's Nashville treating you?
Nashville is treating me great, Sparky. I am a good soldier in the working department, not sampling the whiskey during work hours, of course.
It's not work hours right now, is it? I mean, it's 8:30 at night.
Good point.
8:30 at night, man. Lots of country music being played right now somewhere. Hey, I before we get to why I want to talk to you, because he's in Nashville covering the Sounds, like I said, working on a story, but that thing there from Kurt Hoge. Now, you've been to a doctor before, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah, okay. I've been to a doctor before. I've never come across anybody, I don't think, that went in with pain for something. Guy diagnosed. The doc says, hey, man, you're good to go. You probably play here in a couple days. Just rest it. And then I've never heard of the person going, I'd like a second opinion to see if you're actually right. I've never heard of that in my life. That's why I laughed when I read that. Like, wait a second, man. Ain't nothing serious. Then why is he going to get a second opinion if it ain't nothing serious? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever, Mr. Radcliffe.
I would definitely agree that second opinion are words that are not often associated with he might be fine day to day, might play later in the series. That does not sound – definitely made my heart sink a little bit to hear those words, but I don't know, man. This team is so funny with medical stuff, and maybe every team is, and this is just the one that we see up close. But I feel like the diagnosis is always wrong. It's always a little bit conservative, or sometimes in reverse. But it is definitely not a good sign when they're going into the series against, you know, the team that they're ostensibly competing with for the top spot in the National League. The Braves obviously in there as well. The Cubs, I suppose, as well. But you know, and Bryce Terang isn't available. Like, that's a really, really tough sign. So I don't know. I don't know if you believe in curses, Sparky, but their infield, their infield has taken some hits.
Well, I mean, people knew that. They were sacrificing third base this year. They were just going to try and get by and hope the rest of the lineup did its thing. My thing is this. If Terang were to be out for, I don't know, rest of the year or whatever it ends up being, would you, could you go get Mr. Madej to bring him up for the rest of the year to play second base? I mean, could you? He's got like 15, 16 errors at AA. So that's part of the reason why I don't think they're calling him up. But that would be a nice little fun story for the rest of the year.
I completely understand why people are very excited about him and about the guys that they have, really in AA especially in particular. I think that there's a really good comparison out there that I've seen recurring that shows what his numbers are with Jackson Chourio's numbers at this point. And they're almost identical. Yep. Madej has a slight advantage in a couple stat categories. And that's very exciting. I mean, obviously, why wouldn't it be? Because right now, Jesus Madej is 19 years old. You know, Chourio is the same age at that level. But I also, like, want people to remember that, okay, then Chourio went to AAA for a little while.
For
not
a cup
long,
of coffee.
He was there.
Yep, cup of coffee. Yep.
And then the following year he played. And that first rookie year was exciting. It was interesting because you knew that he was 20 years old. He was going to be special. Was what he gave you as a 20-year-old the production that you're looking for, the difference-making production that this team is looking for? I would say the answer is no. And so now you're talking about a guy who's even a year younger than that.
Yeah,
what are you going to get there?
With all due respect, I mean, the other option is David Hamilton at second base or Bebe Baby at second base. I mean, who exactly are you? Right now, if he were to be out, you're talking about Bay, Terang, and Hamilton around the infield? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, not ideal. I'm not saying that's, oh, that sounds great. I'm not saying that at all. It sounds terrible. But I think, you know, the combination of you do start his arbitration clock, which is not the primary motivator here, but it is something to consider.
Yep.
And the fact that he's not as ready as we think he is.
But once you get past September 6th, you don't. Then you're free and clear. Then it doesn't count towards anything.
Okay. But in any event, you're risking bringing a guy up who's not ready for the big leagues. And I mean, he might be slightly better than David Hamilton. I don't know if he would be. I don't think he would be slightly better than David Hamilton. I think at best, it's a push. And so, obviously, they're going to want to go with the guy who they brought here with every intention of playing. I know he's frustrating. It's frustrating that you haven't seen production out of him at all. It's always been head-scratching. You know, why not play the hot hand when Joey Ortiz was so hot? I totally get that frustration. I wish I thought Jesus Madé was actually the answer. I don't think he is. At the very least, I think you go sideways, and maybe there's a little more interest, and maybe he gets hot or something. But what you're seeing from him at AA is a guy who's not a finished product yet. He's not ready for the big leagues yet. He will be soon, but I don't think he's what you go to. I think you have to. I don't know what you do.
Okay, so it's not September 6th. It's like in the next day or so. It might be actually today or tomorrow. So promoting a top prospect around mid-August, roughly 45 days remaining, limits their active service time just enough to preserve their rookie status for the following year while protecting their prospect promotion incentive draft pick eligibility.
Okay, but here's the other thing you have to consider too. You also have to put them on the 40-man roster, and there are consequences to that. In addition, I don't ultimately know how this plays into it, but when there is a work stoppage, players on the 40-man roster are impacted. Players who are not on the 40-man can keep playing.
So he can't play in the minors then next year when you're in a work stoppage if he's on the 40-man, correct?
That's correct. Now, I don't know how much they're thinking about that. I don't know if front offices are truly operating with, let's think about what's going to happen at the work stoppage. I don't know if they're doing that, but it is something to think about. Also, if this team wants to, you know, if they want to sign him to a long-term contract the way that they've done with Cooper Pratt and Luis Lara, one of the carrots for that is, and if you sign this contract, we'll add you to the 40-man roster. You know, I'm not, again, I have no idea what's going on in those conversations. If they're having those conversations, I mean, I would be if I were the Milwaukee Brewers, but I don't know if that's, you know, interrupts their timeline on that front. So there's always something. There's always some reason to be protective and to make sure these guys are fundamentally ready to play every day when they get here. I personally don't think he is. I agree that there isn't like a better option out there. You know, I don't feel great about what they're throwing out there right now. I don't know if, you know, Jorge Mateo, is he still out there? I don't even know if there are options out there that could fill this void. The only thing is you hope Bryce Durang is feeling okay after, you know, after whatever time he needs and can get back onto the field and competing at a reasonably high level within at least a couple weeks, right?
That's what I'm saying. My scenario is he's gone for the year. And now what do you do? What's the next play then, sure, if you're the Brewers? So I'm looking at the 40-man right now. Guys that are currently in the minors on the 40-man. Let's see. This is the Brewers website. Grant Anderson, Coleman Crow, Colton Gordon, Jared Koenig, Brandon Sproat, Garrett Stallings. Those are the pitchers.
All pitchers. Yep.
Bo Naylor's on the 40-man. Jefferson Carroll's on the 40-man. Akil Baddoo is on the 40-man. And Tyler Black is on the 40-man.
Yes. Okay. There's no help there.
I mean, Akil Baddoo and Tyler Black and Bo Naylor, who I know they just got for a reason, but seriously, I mean, any of those guys were kicked off, nobody would blink an eye like, oh no, we're not going to have him next year. Okay, so let's talk about what you witnessed down in Nashville with the Sounds, Mr. J.R. Ratcliffe, because here I am talking to Kurt Hoag the other day, and I was like, hey man, what about they go get my guy Luke Adams and bring him up, and he can be a straight platoon with David Hamilton at third base. Joey Ortiz can play short because Pratt's going to be out to like the end of the month, they're saying. Terang's at second. Let's go. And now you got some pop at third base without having to play Andrew Vaughn over there, which apparently worries everybody but me. Your thoughts on what you saw, because Hoag was like, didn't you see the J.R. Ratcliffe post? Nope, I missed it.
Why would
what
you
are you no. talking about? Well, he's in Nashville. I was like, he's in Nashville? Okay,
right.
So tell me what you saw, J.R. Ratcliffe.
So Luke Adams, I would say still steadily rising prospect in the organization, top 15 at the very least. He can play both corner infield spots. You know, I came down here to talk to a bunch of players, got a chance to talk to him, and about 10 minutes later on Monday, he took the field for a regular routine, you know, batting practice, hitting the ball around.
Because they don't play, minor leagues don't have games on Mondays. For those of you that don't know,
this was Tuesday, not Monday. This was Tuesday.
Okay.
So I do get I've got my day screwed up already down here. So Tuesday, he goes out there and he throws the ball across the diamond. I happen to be looking right at him, and I don't know if he got his feet tangled up or if he just. He just like hurt himself on the throw and kind of fell to the ground, but he fell to the ground and he was writhing in pain. They called for trainers. They turned off the music on the sound system. I don't think it was quite that bad, but he had to be helped up. He was helped down to the trainer's room. He was walking, but he was in a lot of pain, lower back. I did see him walking around on Wednesday, the second day, but he wasn't taking batting practice. He's been placed on the injured list. He looked a little uncomfortable. He's moving around. He wasn't unable to move. But obviously this late in the season, and I don't know how severe we're talking here. It's pretty secretive at the minor leagues, like how bad injuries are, but there's not a lot of minor league baseball left. So the odds of him getting back in time to really ramp up and be somebody that they can go to if they have to break glass in case of emergency and bring up, I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. He's an interesting prospect. He's 22 years old still. He's a little bit of a hot and cold hitter. Very patient hitter. Very good at what the Brewers love.
And he's big. He's like 6'4", right? I mean, he's good size.
Big guy. He hasn't played as much third base over the course of his career. Third base has diminished. He's gone more toward the first base side.
Yep.
But he still can. He still can play third base. So. Yeah, I got to say, we're going back to curses again because Jet Williams just like came back from a wrist injury, took one swing and went right back on the injured list. He wasn't even in Nashville this week. So they have lost some serious infield potential there and kind of with some freak injuries, at least with this. This was so weird, Sparky. He didn't run, nobody got in his way. It wasn't like he had to like move out of the way. He just threw across the diamond and fell to the ground. So, jeez, man. Sounds like a curse to me.
Not good. Blake Burke arrived about the same time you arrived, J.R. Ratcliffe. Now, that's another big dude that can run some, because dude's got like 20-plus stolen bases already.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit and just how it is that he's become this stolen base threat. I think he stole 10 bases one year in Tennessee, which isn't terrible, but this is still kind of a newer development for him. I mean, this kid's like 6'3", 6'4", 235 pounds.
Is he 235?
I'm going to say like the way that I'm 230. Yeah, that's about right. Let's see.
I'm just saying, because I read that the other day on the air. I was like, dude, I've seen video. He does not look 230 to me, but we'll go with it if that's what they list him at.
Big dude. Anyway, looks like a slugger.
Yes.
Looks like a slugger. Yes, he has been promoted from Double A Biloxi. He was at Nashville this week. First game, he got on base three times. Didn't get a hit. Didn't put a ball in play. Just walked a couple times. Got hit by a pitch. Scored the tying run and the winning run. Didn't get to see him steal a base, got a hit on Wednesday in his second game. So he's a guy playing first base. And I would say this isn't something that solves a Bryce Terang problem, but if they find themselves needing that boost here at the end of the year, a slugger, Lord knows they could use some slug. I don't know if what their appetite would be about adding Blake Burke, but I do feel like he's a little more likely than some of the other guys we've talked about as somebody who could get that opportunity late in the year. I wouldn't predict it. But especially with designated hitter, if Christian Yelich is struggling and you're not getting a lot of pop out of William Contreras, I could see them saying we just need to get a bat in this lineup, DH, maybe first base, but just get a bat. I could see that happening. He's one of these guys that they've drafted the last several years. It was Brock Wilkin before him,
yep,
and Blake Burke and Andrew Fisher. Like this team, you talked about third base that they kind of punted on it. I mean, I feel like they've punted on third base the last few years. They haven't had sluggers there. And that's fine. That's part of their like defensive scheme or whatever. But they're also drafting guys with pretty high draft picks to be a slugging third baseman. Like all three of those guys were drafted, and you could see that happen. So I know they want it. I know they want somebody who can do that and play third base. Blake Burke can not play third base. That's not going to happen.
No.
But Luke Adams fits into this mold as well. But you know they crave that. They just got to get somebody like fully ready to do that and get them to the big leagues.
Andrew Fisher, that's your guy. Now, again, he's got some ways to go defensively to improve in order to get to that point, but he's the one that's been playing third base. My thing is, what's going on with Brock Wilkin? I mean, that dude has a lot of power, but he is struggling this year.
Yeah, and it's the percentages that are struggling. Like, he's
Batting average is like 179 last I checked.
Yep.
OPS is below 700. You know, again, this is a slugging third baseman. That looks really bad. At the same time, he, you know, for however you care about the RBI stat, he leads the team in that. He leads the team in doubles. He leads the team in walks. Like, he is doing his part. He feels like he's swinging at the right pitches, elevating them, doing damage. They're just going to fielders, or they're just not going far enough. And then there is obviously a lot of swing and miss in there too. So Rick Sweet, the Nashville manager, asked him about Wilkin, and he said right now he's, in his mind, gearing up for Brock Wilkin to be really outstanding next year. He really feels like, you know, his timeline just isn't the same as everybody else's. Next year, he's really going to hit the ground running. We're seeing those signs. He's seeing those signs that this guy is still somebody who's going to be able to contribute. I mean, I this has been brought up a lot, but he had two crazy freak injuries. He got hit in the face, had facial fractures, still doesn't have feeling in part of his face, his teeth. Like, it was just a terrible hit in the face of the pitch. And that threw off his ability to really finish that season in 2024. Then 2025, or I think I got my timeline wrong. I don't know if that's 23, 24. They're celebrating the first half championship in Biloxi. They're in the clubhouse. His patella, like, just slipped out as he fell backwards, and he ended up, it was on the side of his knee. Like, it was just this gruesome thing. And he wasn't doing anything goofy. He just slipped on the tarp, right, that was in the clubhouse. So he's dealing with knee pain. You know, he's not been 100% healthy at any point after this. So he's still working through that as well. I wouldn't give up on him. I would not give up on him. I've always been a big believer in him. I think he's going to be a Milwaukee Brewer someday. I don't know if he's going to be. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but I still think there's enough in there, and I want to see how things start next year. I feel like next year, I believe Rick Sweet a little bit, that maybe next year he really does take a leap forward.
J.R. Ratcliffe, sports trend reporter for the Milwaukee Journal, doing some top secret work down there on the Nashville Sounds. Breaking story coming soon near you from J.R. Ratcliffe. I want to ask you one more. That's Jefferson Carroll. How are we feeling about Jefferson Carroll? Because Contreras has 1 year left on his deal. I've been saying that it only makes sense that Carroll's the other catcher next to Contreras next year, because odds are they don't trade him. So those two are together. And then the following year after that, you would assume, if they believe in Jefferson Carroll, he's your starting catcher in 28.
Well, the problem right now is that he hasn't been catching because he's been hurt as well.
Yep.
He's got a biceps thing. We haven't seen him behind the plate since June. Rick Sweet thinks later this month, maybe even next week, if things are going well, we're going to see him behind the plate again. So that would be ideal, because I agree with you. They're in an interesting spot. It's not clear who their catchers are next year or the year after. And I think we've seen enough with the injuries he suffered, the really bad shoulder injury that cost him a whole year. I don't think we can count on him necessarily as like the guy that is going to be a starter or anything at the front end of 2027. But I mean, again, another guy that I wouldn't rule out. It's just that the offense hasn't been stellar this year necessarily at AAA. He obviously did get that cup of coffee in the big leagues, but with him not catching, when he has caught, he hasn't been his old self, you know, still battling back from a shoulder injury, which, as we know, can take multiple years to get right. So I don't know what they have here. I really think the last few weeks of the season, when he's catching again, will be a really important telltale to see what they have here. And now they've got Bo Naylor, like you mentioned. So is he going to be catching every day? Like, he's probably going to be splitting some of the time. We just need to see more. And it would help, obviously, if the offense is there. He's got some pop. He's hit the ball a little bit, but not to the point where you look at that and say they've got to find a way to get him on the field, get him in the lineup. Nobody, you know, he's not pushing down the door at this point, even for like Gary Sanchez's job at all. So, gosh, I want to see him behind the plate again and see what we have here for the end of the season.
He is J.R. Ratcliffe, again, a sports trend reporter there for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on X at J.R. Ratcliffe. When's your sound story coming out that we can look and see on?
Well, a few of them. There's a few of them. And it's not like some top secret thing. It's just a few little portraits from checking out Nashville Sounds. Thought they have the best, they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. Thought I should spend some time.
Are you going to Biloxi next?
No, but I did see Sparky. I looked it up because I booked this trip a long time ago, and then you see what Biloxi has, like, oh, can I make the drive? But it's just a little too far, 7 hours plus, a little
team,
too far away.
That team is stacked for sure. J.R. Ratcliffe, thank you so much, man. Have fun in Nashville.
Sounds good. See you soon, Sparky.
Take care. There is J.R. Ratcliffe on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that is all.